There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Speaking to you through a mouthful of brownie, a Dubai bakery is expanding into Saudi Arabia. We are going to find out now how Sugar Moo has gone from one bakery in Barsha to catering to 100 F&B outlets across the country and now moving into the kingdom. Racky Phillips is the co-founder of Sugar Moo Desserts. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Brandy. How are you?
Sticky.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Before we have a look at your expansion plans, let's actually pick up on a point that Malcolm just made about the rise in the cost of vanilla. We are now surrounded by baked goods, and I'm sure that genuine vanilla will have gone into some of them. What are you seeing with the rise in the price of vanilla?
I just heard your segment earlier, and absolutely, that's been one of the toughest things that we had dealt with. Our cost of vanilla, because we use fresh ingredients in all of our desserts, has gone up by almost 600%. So we've had to find different options and to try to really work with alternative ingredients, because vanilla bean is such an essence and it's such an important ingredient when you do your desserts. But it's unbelievable how expensive that product's become.
It would be cheaper to coat your products with silver.
Now that or gold.
That's fine. Well,
yeah, that's true. Based on the price.
A kilo and, yeah. And vanilla 600. So
yeah, it's true. It's true. If my chef's listening, I need some silver-coated brownies by the time I get to the bakery.
Well, let's have a look at what you're doing with your bakery. Started in 2014. Now, you had a proper corporate career before that, didn't you?
I did. I'm a hotelier by trade. I went to hotel school and have been in the hotel business since I was 19 years old.
And you were a regional director at Fairmont.
I was, yeah.
What made you think, I will give up my steady job with my lovely benefits and my nice salary, and I'll start baking?
I blame one of my best friends from college who convinced me to jump into this entrepreneurial life and dabble into it. My co-founder is a friend of mine that I've known for years. And he kept saying, we got to get a franchise, we got to get a franchise. And we flew to New York and interviewed quite a few places and realized, forget franchising, let's start our own concept, and realize there was such a big niche in the market for an online bakery, and the market was oversaturated with Arabic sweets and cupcakes. So we decided to be the anti-cupcake establishment and come up with some really cool, funky desserts, and it's taken off since then.
Why online rather than having a physical shop that people go to?
Simple, wider audience reach. So if I open a shop in one of the malls or in a center someplace, I'm heavily relying on the people that are walking by. As a small business owner, I decided we go online, we can reach out to anyone. We launched as Dubai's first online dessert delivery business. So if you're craving a dessert, you go on our app, you go on our website, you call us at 800-SUGAR and we deliver anywhere right away. And it was more cost effective to do it that way, and no one was in that space.
How much did you invest to actually start up?
So the initial fundraise that we did was $950,000. And then 2 years into it, when we outgrew our space in Al Barsha, we built a standalone bakery in Al Khuz, and we raised another $500,000. So in total, we've raised $1.45 million.
When you went to New York to look at sort of the potential franchise models that you might adopt, what was it specifically that actually made you decide to do it yourself? Was it the sort of the fact that their product wasn't varied enough? Was it the fact they were asking too much to introduce the franchise? What was the big issue?
Two reasons. One, they have no idea about the Middle East market. They don't understand Dubai. They don't understand what's required here. And the second part was the fees. The moment they heard Dubai, they were throwing at me some ridiculous numbers. And we're the little guys. You know, we're guys that are just hustling to be able to start something. And we're not the big guys that wanted to pay, you know, $1 million just for franchise rights.
Which of course would be them sending you all the packaging that you'd have to pay for and everything else to conform. We saw a few years ago sort of one of the local products here for falafel, Just Falafel, expand out around the world and offer franchises. Do you think there could be some sort of reverse franchising opportunities for yourself? I mean, you're into Saudi now.
Yeah.
What about further afield?
Absolutely. I mean, so right now we're in the process of launching Sugar Moo Desserts in Riyadh. We've done a JV agreement with the Al Hukair Group, that are a big entertainment company, and they own hotels and the cinemas in Saudi. But our plan is, next step is to open in Abu Dhabi, a similar model as we're doing right now with the bakery and the delivery. But we have 17 franchise requests that have come in. I mean, we've been bombarded with requests across the region, and we're a small business, so we're studying them well, realizing what's the best market. To be honest, ideally for me, I'd love to get into a market like Muscat. There's no one that's doing what we're doing over there. Kuwait is a massive, massive dessert market. And it really is the capital of F&B in the region. So those are really the two markets that we're very focused on next.
Well, let's look at how you're going into Saudi. You're going in a JV with Al Hukair, as you mentioned, and they are very big in the hotel space, very big in the entertainment space. How is that going to change the way you work in Saudi? Will you be in hotels there? Will you be in some of their entertainment spaces?
Absolutely. Part of the deal is we would be able to supply a lot of their businesses. So in Riyadh, they've got, I'd say, about 12 to 15 hotels that are there. They've got multiple entertainment complexes. They're opening the cinemas. So that is a small part of our business. The biggest part of our business is really the online element. Today, the online ordering is 70% of our business. So the B2C model, where the B2B is probably 10 to 15% of our business.
Well, I've got a mouthful at the moment, actually, of something which is looks like a chocolate brownie. Is it a chocolate brownie?
It's our Nutella brownie.
Nutella brownie. Very nice, but obviously it would not be heat resistant. So how do you do online delivery in places like Saudi Arabia and this part of the world where in the summer?
To be honest, before we launched the business, that took us about 3 to 4 months of research and development just to get it right. First of all, we wanted to make sure our drivers, because we deliver by bike, weren't doing wheelies down Sheikh Zayed Road, because obviously desserts are quite delicate. But the way we package the desserts, the way we cool the boxes, we've got thermal boxes that have cooling devices in them. It really was an art form that took us a long time. So nowadays, we deliver via our own fleet of bikes, as well as our chiller vans that we've got. But we're also available on all the online platforms, like the Deliveroos and the Uber Eats and the rest.
Even though you have to give them quite a chunk of your revenue for that.
Do you know, I've spoken to a lot of business owners that solely rely on those models. And I'm, to me, I look at it as a marketing expense. If I have to pay one of them from, as you said, a huge fee.
30% odd, isn't it?
30%. Yeah. I consider it as a marketing fee.
But I mean, you spend a lot of time developing your own boxes and your own delivery style and training your own bike riders. How do you know that when you hand it out to somebody else, like a deliverer or any other delivery company, that they're going to be as careful with your product as your own guys are?
To be honest, when Deliveroo got into the market and the Uber Eats got into the market, there was a lot of issues with delivering desserts, because delivering a shawarma is very different than delivering a very intricate, delicate dessert. And we had a few growing pains at the beginning, but the guys are so professional, and now they've gotten to the point where they've got well-trained drivers that are doing a good job. But I'm not going to lie to you, right at the beginning, we did have some cakes that were toppled upside down, but it's customer service and turning that around.
So how do you do that in Saudi Arabia? Riyadh to start with, and some of the other cities, but some big areas here. How are you going to do it?
So Riyadh's going to be a little bit different, because we are launching with our central kitchen, which is located in the heart of the city. So we're in a pretty good location, but we're also opening what we call our dessert labs in two to three sections on the other side of the city, which we're going to use them as small distribution centers. So when you go there to buy a dessert, sort of like a retail location, we'll be able from there to facilitate other areas. I mean, Riyadh is 4 times the size of Dubai, and we need to be able to have coverage all over.
So what is Al Hukair's general strategy to try and get Sugar Moo accepted in Saudi by Saudi buyers? Are they going for price, placement, advertising? How are you going to make the penetration?
To be honest, we're going to do the same model that we had here in Dubai, which is really focus on online, focus on great creative products that are different from the market. I've been traveling to Saudi with my previous career at Fairmont, and now the last couple of years setting up Sugar Moo there. We know what the market's missing. We know the products that are there, and no one is in the online arena. So having the first mover advantage and being able to do that is a big step, and the quality of the products that we produce.
And what's next for you in terms of earning money? Have Al Hukair put, I mean, obviously you've got the business venture, but are they also investing in Sugar Moo?
No, not at all. We have a JV agreement where their investment is only allocated towards the Saudi entity. So they're not partners in us in the mother company.
Are you looking for more partners in the mother company to grow?
You know what? Being an SME here in Dubai, you have to be able to grow. So we're always fundraising, looking for strategic partners and opportunities to help us go to the next level.
We've got about 30 seconds to answer this question, really. Somebody's texting and saying, aren't these dessert products not promoting an unhealthy lifestyle? And when we look at sort of childhood obesity, how do you answer that question when people throw that at you?
You know what it is? You need a balance and moderation. In this part of the world, in the Middle East, gifting desserts is a big part of the business, being a big part of the culture. So so I always say it's in moderation. Desserts aren't going anywhere. It is a staple of the culture and the way things are done. We pride ourselves in using only natural ingredients. We don't use any preservatives. We don't use any premixes. And if we can provide a better quality product, yes, it does have sugar on it, but we've reduced the quantity of sugar that's there. And we try to offer a healthy balance.
You've got vegan desserts as well. How much of a demand, because we know veganism is having a moment, how much of a demand do you have for those?
We launched it in January and it's done phenomenally well. I was very surprised as how fast it grew. I'd say now it's close to 15% to 20% of our total revenues come from our vegan desserts.
Reggie Phillips, co-founder of Sugar Moo Desserts, thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure, thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.